This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits, one that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you, my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice, or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Are you among the millions of people constantly struggling with your weight? You could be suffering from a food addiction. Compulsive eating is a type of behavioral addiction that can cause you to lose control. Joining us today is Julia Ross, author of the book The Craving Cure. She will share how you can reprogram the brain's appetite-regulating hormones and free yourself from food addiction. Don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a pioneer in the use of nutritional therapy for the treatment of mood problems, eating disorders, and addictions. She's the author of the best-selling books, Mood Cure, The Diet Cure, and The Craving Cure. Her work has been featured on TV and publications ranging from NBC, CBN, and the 700 Club, Vogue magazine, to the Journal of Molecular Psychiatry. Here to tell us all about her new book, The Craving Cure, Identify Your Craving Type to Activate Your Natural Appetite Control. Welcome to the show, Julia Ross.
Thank you, Dr. Friedman. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, so great to have you on the show. Share with us, what do you mean by our craving type and how does it relate to natural appetite control?
Well, let's start with the basics.
Uh-huh.
Where do our cravings come from? You know, for junk food, foods that we don't want to eat. Those cravings are out of our control because they're generated within our brain. They're involuntary impulses. And up to now, we've just been the victims of our own brains and some faulty brain chemistry. It turns out there are 5 specific areas of the brain that generate appetite, whether it's the appetite for junk food or the appetite for healthy food, depends on how healthy those areas of the brain are. And so it turns out that the more junk food we eat, the less substantial food we eat, the worse our brain functioning becomes. And so at this point, all 5 of these areas of the brain that control our appetite are malfunctioning. And so many people need to do some brain repair work. And that's been the focus of my work at my Northern California clinic since the late 80s, when I discovered that there were some very simple nutritional techniques that would almost immediately correct the malfunctioning appetite centers in the brain.
Yeah, I love in your book, and you and me are on the same line, where one size doesn't fit all. I commend you for that. And you categorize 5 craving types, and you address each one differently. In your experience, is there a craving type that's most common or maybe harder to combat?
Well, in the book, I list them in the order of their popularity.
Uh-huh.
So the most common kind of craving that we see pretty across the board in men and women and children is caused by a deficiency in our natural antidepressant neurotransmitter called serotonin. Most people are familiar with serotonin because there's, you know, been so much interest in this part of the brain that generates, you know, our sunny feelings. Serotonin levels always dip this time of year in the winter.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons we're releasing the craving cure in the winter to rescue those people who are doomed to the Christmas binging because their brain is in even worse shape than it was in the summer in terms of craving. So if people are experiencing most of their cravings in the later part of the day, the darker part of the day where less serotonin is made, that's a very common feature of this. But some of the other features, we call it the depressed craving type because people tend to feel negative and pessimistic and anxious and irritable when they're in the grips of a low serotonin brain condition.
Right. Is that the area where they reach for their two best friends, Ben and Jerry?
Oh, Ben and Jerry. And they can reach for anything that has sugar in it because sugar, it's been known since some of the early neuroscientists researched and really helped us understand how the brain works in terms of appetite, that low serotonin can be reversed very temporarily by sugar in any form. In fact, the scientists that first did this research, the Wortmans at MIT, identified exactly how much sugar it to. The problem is that serotonin is actually made out of protein. So you can kick it into a drug-like activation with sugar, but it's going to sag and sag more deeply, actually, afterwards, unless you're also eating plenty of protein, which we stopped doing in the 1970s. And one of the points that I make in the book is that this brain chemistry demise that we're experiencing really started then. Before the 1970s, weight was not a big issue. 10% of the population was obese. It's now over 40%. The diabetes rate was less than 2%. It's now over 50%. So we've got to take care of this part of the brain and the other four parts of the brain. And, you know, if you're game, I can talk about the other four, the symptoms of the other four types of food craving.
The big thing is, I know as a psychotherapist, you launched San Francisco's first food addiction program. When it comes to food addiction, is there something psychological, or do you feel that there's truly ingredients in the food that are fueling the addiction like a drug?
Well, for a number of years, because I was trained as a psychotherapist, and my first job was in the alcohol and drug addiction field, and everyone assumed that it was psychological, except people in the 12-step programs who weren't so sure. But we leaped into the field thinking we're going to transform the whole just emerging, this is in the late 70s, just emerging concern about addiction. And none of our tools worked for addictive cravings. They worked for emotional healing, trauma recovery, family reunion. You know, there were many things for which psychotherapy was and still is marvelous for recovering addicts of any kind, but we did not see with alcohol and drug addicts, and we continued not to see it with food addicts. And in fact, I had to recognize in the mid-80s that I was in a field that I was completely untrained to address. You know, these problems that I was the director by then of the program that I had started in, and I was facing 100% relapse rates with cocaine addicts. So I knew that psychotherapy wasn't working. There was no more blatant illustration than that. Excuse me. We just at that time learned from this new, relatively new field of neuroscience, you know, brain science, that addiction was entirely a biochemical, a neurochemical, a brain chemistry malfunction condition. But the issue was, well, what do we do about it? You know, we're psychotherapists. We're right. Addiction specialists, supposedly. And so many of us began to really study the brain. And we were very fortunate that one of these neuroscientists doing the early research on addiction in the brain told us something that all biochemists of all kinds, you know, physiologists, certainly neuroscientists know, and that is that the five functions in the brain that impact craving, appetite, pleasure generation, are made out of a very simple nutrients. Each one of the five is fueled by a single amino acid. So just to give you an example, a hamburger patty has 20 amino acids in it, or more. But we only need five. And you won't find more than five nutritional solutions in the craving cure. Because, thank God, brain repair is really a simple matter. We're not eating enough protein. We're experiencing a tremendous amount of stress. We are eating a diet that has been officially analyzed in international studies to be 60% nutrient void. That means that our ability to fuel the brain is 60% gone. We can't have a brain that's functioning normally unless we start to reverse, you know, this terrible malnutrition, in particular brain malnutrition that we're suffering from now.
Right.
So we began to use these nutrients, these five nutrients individually, depending on the symptoms of the client. And it turns out that the symptoms collected into five categories based on the part of the brain that was most heavily impacted. So some people had all five craving issues going on at the same time. Other people had one. Other people had two. So we began to identify, first from the neuroscientific literature, what are the symptoms of a type 1, a low serotonin type? And we began to see a picture that conformed with the symptoms of most of our clients, because most of our clients are type 1s, even if they also have, let's say, a type 2 or 3 along with it.
I know in your book you mention a lot about the amino acid supplements. So share with the listeners, is that something that you actually take? It's important to do to help curtail food cravings?
Well, I regard amino acid taking as nutritional first aid. In order for us to turn from the nutrient void and really toxic, highly addictive foods that, you know, you asked earlier, is there something in the food itself that makes us addicted? And yes, there is. And so a big part of the book is explaining how foods cement in cravings and return visits. You know, why do we go back to something that's leading us towards obesity and diabetes? Not willingly, but the brain gets trapped because we're eating foods we don't realize are designed very carefully, it turns out, to addict us. And they target certain parts of the brain preferentially, like the endorphin-producing part of the brain, which is like our natural opiate. And so we're talking about a list of foods that have brain-addictive properties. It's now been well studied. The director of the National Institute on Drug Addiction, Nora Volkow, has been very, very outspoken about the realities of brain-based food addiction, having essentially victimized about 60% of the population.
Well, I know you mentioned a lot about how the food industry puts profits before people and hijacks our brain chemistry, so we end up spending more money. How do they go about doing that? Is there anything we can do to protect ourselves?
Yes, we can take amino acids, which will turn off our cravings for the products that the industry is producing. That's what's really extraordinary about this method, is that within, well, I mean, to be honest with you, we do trialing since about the mid-90s when we realized how effective the individual amino acids could be for turning off cravings for addictive substances, you know, like, as you said, Ben and Jerry's. We started trialing them right in the office. So we'd give people symptom lists, you know, which one, tell us, you know, fill out this form and we'll see which parts of the brain seem to be most vulnerable and causing you to have these cravings. And we would also give them a form, which I duplicate in the book, in case they had some unusual health situation that would preclude their, you know, safely taking amino acids. And then we would give them an amino acid and just dissolve it in a little cup with a little bit of water, and they would swish it around in their mouths. And literally, from that day to this, we've been doing it, and most people can feel the effects in about 5 minutes.
Wow. When you say feel the effects, does that mean it's just what, it curtails some of their cravings? Or
yes.
That quickly?
The first thing we ask them before we give them the amino acid is, okay, you say here in the form that you crave especially hard in the late afternoon and evening. So it's afternoon now. We're meeting in the afternoon. If you could have anything you wanted, what would it be? And my clinic is, in Marin County across the bay from San Francisco. And people could afford anything they wanted to eat. And the universal answer is Snickers.
Really?
Yes. Almost universal. It's amazing. forget about Godiva or, health chocolate or whatever. At any rate, so after... within 5 minutes after they've taken the supplement, we'll ask them again. We'll go over the whole list of symptoms. Are you right. As irritable as you were when you came in? No. Try and have a negative thought, like life is terrible or what if my kid gets sick? That kind of thing, sort of things that they would typically worry about, even though they realized that it didn't make much sense. And they couldn't do it. they smile, they become humorous. It's really remarkable when you get enough serotonin in someone's system, for example, just even a little bit more than they're carrying when they walk into the office, how different they become. And they know, and they see it too. But the main thing is that they come in to kill their cravings. And sure enough, when asked, this is the typical response. They look blank, like, what? Oh, yeah. And then they remember they craved that 5 minutes before. And they said, no, I don't crave it now. What I'd really like right now is a meal. And they said, well, what kind of a meal? I could have a big salad with a lot of, turkey and cheese in it, that sort of thing. Not low-calorie starvation fare, but the appetite for the kind of foods that we traditionally have eaten on this planet for the last 2 million years until the 1970s when we made a number of radical departures from the traditional human diet, which are part of how we landed in this in this jam.
So if somebody was having, let's say they're going to a party or an all-you-can-eat buffet, could they use these amino acids and that would immediately, they crave less food when they're there?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm so glad it's coming out before Christmas.
Yeah.
And before the New Year.
Yeah.
Before all the parties and so forth. they do have to eat real food as well. And so, the last part of the book is about, okay, you just killed all your cravings for junk food, so what are you going to eat instead? And this is where, I didn't actually plan to write this part of the book because I thought there are so many, healthy food options out there. I just want to free people to pursue them. But then I realized that part of our legacy from the 1970s, is a very skewed idea of what we should be eating. And that I really wanted to share with people what we had found to be the most effective food plan for people to maintain their freedom from the cravings, even after they didn't need the aminos anymore.
Interesting.
Go ahead. Once you're eating a high-protein diet, for example, which contains a lot of amino acids on a regular basis, three times a day, you need the supplements of the individual few aminos.
Yeah, and that was my next question is, there's so many diets out there ranging from paleo, plant-based to Mediterranean. Is there a specific eating plan that's more congruent to helping us fight off cravings? Have you found a certain group that doesn't have as much of a problem?
Yeah, I would say anything that encourages us to go back to the foods that we were eating, the kinds of foods and the quantities we were eating, before we developed the weight and degenerative disease problems. So that would be before the 70s. And So I like the paleo emphasis on let's go back to basic foods. We started eating a lot of meat about 2 million years ago, and we learned how to cook it about, 500,000 mm-hmm. years after that, which made it all the more accessible to us. And it's pretty much been agreed that that's how we actually evolved, especially how our brain evolved, was this infusion of high-protein foods. Now, this is literally difficult for a lot of people to swallow, and I understand it. You know, it's the animals that we seem to be designed to eat, you know, are living, feeling beings, and it's a very difficult thing. But we too are animals, and we are omnivores, which means we need the meat as well as the vegetables, and so we see a tremendous number of vegans coming in. For one thing, they're so busy they don't know how to keep themselves fueled other than supplementing their vegetables with sugar and other sweet things, starchy things, chips. They just lose track of nutrition and their focus is on ethics. And so we see a lot of people who come in pretty bad shape. In order to help them what would be right for them, we find that the first thing, again, is to clear the brain so they can think clearly, okay,
right.
What's right for me? Is a vegan diet right for me? Can I follow eating plan, or do I have to bow to my, my body's need for more traditional fuels, the animal fuels as well as vegetable fuels. So another large group that advocates traditional eating very specifically and is based on a kind of a blue zone concept that predated the blue zones by a long time of an analysis of traditional diets worldwide is the Weston A. Price Foundation. Sally Fallon is the head of that, and she's written a lot of books, just coming out with a new one, that are very healthy, traditional, options for people. And one of the things I like about it is there are always enough calories, in her recommendations. Whereas, we find that, the people who come to us still need help because they can't stay on their vegan diet or they're drinking too much on their vegan diet. That's another thing that people aren't eating enough of the vegan foods, which is easy to do because,
right.
The emphasis is just low calorie vegetables and protein. They can develop cravings. And even with the nutritional supplements, if you're not eating enough food too, you will typically have a hard time sticking with the diet.
Right. Well, fantastic information. You shared some really new stuff here on this show. So I appreciate you being here. And hopefully our listeners took some good notes. And all of you out there, you need to get your copy of The Craving Cure. And you can do that at Amazon.com or go to JuliaRossCures.com. And while you're there, be sure and check out her latest articles, health recipes, and events. You can follow Julia on Facebook at Julia Ross Cures. And for my daily Facebook and Twitter posts, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Podcasts of all of our shows are available at yourgoodhealthradio.com. Share this wonderful information you learned today with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. You can also subscribe to our weekly podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.